BBC News. Hello, I'm John Shea. The American Defense Secretary Ash Carter has hailed the recapture of the Iraqi city of Ramadi by government troops as a significant step forward in the campaign to defeat Islamic State. Earlier, the BBC was shown the extent of the destruction wrought by the battle for control of the city. Tom Afesi is there.
Iraqi forces have cleared the main streets, but no one dares to step onto the rubble or enter the shattered buildings. Booby traps are everywhere. Operations are still underway in the city centre and in the northern quarters where Iraqi troops supported by coalition warplanes are hunting retreating IS militants. But in the neighbourhoods that we visited, there was no sign of life, except for the soldiers standing guard. Iraqi troops are close to victory in Ramadi, but this is a city that has been sacrificed in battle.
The US Secretary of State, John Kerry, says Iran has taken a significant step towards fulfilling its nuclear commitments by removing a large quantity of uranium from the country. Mr. Kerry was speaking after Iran dispatched a shipment of more than 11 tons of low-enriched uranium to Russia. Warren Bull reports.
Six international powers spent nearly 2 years negotiating with Tehran over its nuclear program in return for an end to most financial sanctions. The Obama administration took a gamble by pushing the deal in the face of a Republican-dominated Congress, and Mr. Kerry was keen to stress that the shipment to Russia represented important progress.
Saudi Arabia says it will cut fuel and utility subsidies in the country as part of measures to deal with a record budget deficit. The Saudi press agency reported that the price of petrol would rise by at least 50%. Electricity, water and kerosene subsidies will also be cut after the government registered a budget deficit of $98 billion for 2015. Saudi officials said the shortfall was due to a sharp drop in global oil prices. A wave of attacks by female suicide bombers in northeastern Nigeria has killed more than 50 people. This report from Abdullahi Kaura Abubakar.
The latest attack targeted a busy market in the town of Madagali in Adamawa State. At least 25 people were killed at the market near a bus station. Earlier, female bombers carried out multiple attacks that killed at least 31 people and injured over 100 in Maiduguri, Borno State. It appears the jihadists want to prove they are still able to inflict as much destruction as they want.
The Somali parliament has passed a new media law which imposes fines of up to $10,000 for what it calls breaches of journalistic ethics. It also requires all media houses to be registered and pay an annual license fee to the government. The National Union of Somali Journalists says the bill will seriously damage independent media and freedom of expression. This is the latest world news from the BBC. A grand jury in the U.S. state of Ohio has cleared two white police officers in the fatal shooting of a 12-year-old black boy who was armed with a toy gun in November last year. The county prosecutor said the shooting of Tamir Rice in Cleveland was a human error and that the evidence did not indicate criminal action by the police. Cleveland's mayor, Frank Jackson, said the city would begin a review process.
Now that the criminal side is over with, and there has been a determination in terms of the criminal side, we are now going to proceed with this administrative review of what happened.
The government of Burundi has rejected a date set for peace talks aimed at ending months of political violence. Following a preliminary meeting in the Ugandan town of Entebbe, the Burundian government delegation also said it did not recognize one of the opposition coalition groups there. Burundi has descended into violence since President Pierre Nkurunziza announced in April that he was running for a third term. Some of the relatives of Alan Kurdi, the Syrian boy whose body was photographed washed up on a Turkish beach, have arrived in Canada. The three-year-old died with his mother and brother trying to reach Greece in September. Alan's father, who lives in Iraq, said after the deaths that he would not move to Canada. The U.S. basketball player known as the Clown Prince of the Harlem Globetrotters, Meadowlark Lemon, has died. He was 83. Lemon played for the side during his heyday from the mid-1950s to the late 1970s. He delighted fans around the world with his trick shots and good-natured gags. In an interview in 2001, he said the Harlem Globetrotters were never driven by money.
We were having fun. We enjoyed what we did. And I find that that the young kids today, you know, they either go to college to learn to play basketball so they can make a lot of money. This wasn't with us.
And that's the latest BBC World News.